This is the Audience Ops Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Brian Castle. Today you're going to hear my conversation with Ash Reed. He runs content over at Buffer. So Buffer, of course, is the very popular social media scheduling tool, but they've also been known for their content marketing effort, which they've done basically since day one of the company. They've been around several years, and they've grown a really, really high traffic blog, a very large user base, very large email subscriber base. And so we got to hear what it's like to run a content marketing operation with such a high volume of people in your audience. So it was really interesting because Buffer covers a wide variety of topics, from social media to marketing in general, digital marketing, even into life hacks and health and entrepreneurship and all sorts of topics. And so it was just really interesting to hear how they manage that, just, you know, such a wide variety and high volume of things going on. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Ash Reed of Buffer. Enjoy. All right, I'm here with Ash Reed. Ash, thanks for taking the time today.
Hey, thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure to chat.
Great. So, Ash, you're from the well-known tool Buffer. So why don't you kind of tell people a bit about what you do at Buffer and how long you've been working there?
Yeah, so I've been at Buffer for just over a year now, and I'm a content crafter and editor on the blog. So most of my days are spent either creating content for the Buffer blog or planning kind of what we're going to cover, a bit of analysis on what's worked for us in the past and kind of strategy side of things. So kind of fairly split over those two areas at the moment.
Got it. And, you know, I'm curious, at this point, you know, Buffer is a pretty well-established company and software and tools and things. And I know that you guys have been publishing a lot of content in many different ways over the years. What does your team look like now? And are you involved in creating a lot of the content, or do you have other writers and other people involved? What does that kind of look like?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And the team structure kind of changes and evolves quite frequently. So a marketing team, we're about 8 or 9 people at the moment. And I would say probably 4 or 5 of us do work on the blog. But I'm kind of probably the only full-time person on the blog at the moment. Mm-hmm. So my role is writing, editing, strategy. And then we have Kevin, who, if you've read the blog, you'll be familiar with his work. He's kind of our marketing director now. He used to write and do a lot of the blog management stuff, but now is mainly an editor and kind of contributes occasionally. Brian, our social media manager, he contributes to the blog. And we've got Alfred, who was on our community team, but is now kind of becoming a content crafter as well and focusing more on the blog. So he does writing as well. So there's kind of 4 or 5 of us that contribute to the blog. And I spend most of my days kind of full time on the blog side of things, whether that's writing or kind of looking at, you know, what's performed well for us in the past, you know, what other people are working on, what topics we should cover, and that side of stuff.
Got it. And so as of today, we're recording this right at the end of 2016. We're heading into 2017. And when you say the blog, it's interesting because Buffer has actually multiple blogs at this point. I'm curious to know how you think about having these multiple destinations when it comes to your blogging and content. So there's Buffer Open, which is kind of like about transparency and work culture. And then you have Buffer Social, which of course is about social media and marketing, and Buffer Overview, which seems to be more of a development and engineering related content. And now I see something here called Buffer Happiness, which says that it's coming soon. So can you tell us a bit about how you break these up and the strategy behind this?
Yeah. So originally we had kind of the social blog was the main hub of everything. And we found that when that had a lot of like productivity type stuff on it that we would now cover on the open blog, those kind of posts were bringing in a lot of traffic, but it was also kind of low converting traffic. So they weren't necessarily that interested in the Buffett product, but were interested in the work and culture side of things. And kind of likewise, the people that came, you know, for that transparency type content weren't that into the social content. So we decided to kind of silo them off into two different areas with kind of two very different goals. And so with the social blog now, the content is very much focused on social media, marketing, kind of growing your audience, all of that good stuff. And we focus a lot on kind of our CTAs and how people that read that content convert into Buffer users and paying Buffer users. Whereas on the open blog side, which is all of the kind of productivity, transparency, workplace culture, you know, we're focused a little bit more on other goals, like some of which are like building an email list and kind of building up a real kind of group of people that are into discussing and, you know, being a part of the future of work and, you know, what we see the workplace, the future looking like. So, yeah, I think the reason behind them being split is kind of two very different audiences and, you know, very different goals with each audience, and kind of having them in one place, I think we, you know, we weren't achieving either of those goals as good as we feel we can separately.
Right. Right. And of course, you know, Buffer offers the popular tool that most people use, I assume, the free and then the awesome plan at $10 a month. And then you have Buffer for Business. Do you split up the blogs in that way in terms of the target audience? Like would the maybe the Buffer open readers would be more likely to convert into business users, whereas the social might use the more general tool? Do you think about it that way at all?
Yeah, so one of the things that we've actually been trying to figure out this year is, you know, what exactly we're trying to get people to convert to from the blog. Because I think originally we had, like at the start of this year, we had so many different goals. Like one was building the traffic up, then there was Buffer free signups, then there's what we called an activated user, and that's someone who signs up and sends more than 15 posts in their first week. We kind of categorize those as people that are actively using the product, then paid users and Buffer for Business users. And it kind of became a bit too much. Like we had like six metrics that we were chasing. And for a while we reined it back and focused purely on business trials. So trying to get people to start up their 7-14 day Buffer for Business trials and then hopefully convert onto one of the business plans that start at like $99. And then we kind of went full scale back on that. And for most of this year, we've purely been focused on growing the traffic to the social blog. And, you know, with that one metric in mind, we've kind of been able to go from about 1 million sessions to 1.3 million sessions per month on the blog.
Wow.
And now, as we kind of head into 2017, we're kind of rethinking that again and focusing a lot more on like the conversions and which CTAs are converting people, what, you know, messaging works. We've done a lot of stuff with like jobs to be done methodology, which is kind of like figuring out what jobs our customers are trying to solve and then how we can use our CTAs on the blog to kind of get them in based on those jobs. So yeah, I think we've varied a lot this year. And if there was one takeaway from that, I would kind of say it would be ensuring that we're focused on, you know, maybe one or two metrics, or have kind of one or two key goals for our content rather than kind of trying to aim for a ton of different audiences and a ton of different metrics.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that takeaway. And I'm sure that even as you shift from one focus or one key metric to the next, all the work that you put into, say, the past year of increasing your traffic, if that was the metric from the past year, a lot of that work stays in the system going forward. And, you know, you still benefit from that over time, even once you start to focus on conversions.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all, you know, even as the goals change, it's all been worthwhile learnings. You know, from focusing on traffic, we've kind of figured a few things out about like SEO and how we can grow there. You know, when we were focusing on business trials, we experimented with different types of content and we learned a lot about kind of what content interests the business customers for Buffer, because it's kind of very different. Someone who wants to spend or use a free product or spend $10 a month on a social media product, the content they're after is very different to a business that wants to spend, you know, $99 or $200 on a product. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we just learned a ton about each different audience. And I feel like we would now be in a stronger position to kind of target each of those individually, because we had those months of like deep work and focus on specific audiences that we now kind of understand a little better. Mm-hmm.
Are you able to share any specifics as to what you learned and the kinds of things that really moved the needle? I guess starting with traffic. Any specifics there?
Definitely. So I think a couple of key takeaways from us was focusing on SEO first ahead of kind of anything else. Like for a while, a lot of our content was just kind of picking up on posts that we've done in the past that have done really well, and how can we kind of cover that in more depth? What other angles can we cover? And getting quite a lot of traffic from social. And over the past year or so, social traffic has plummeted for us. And I think almost every publisher out there, you know, we're not seeing the same numbers from Twitter and Facebook. And we then turn to SEO, and now we try and kind of pick a topic and then do the keyword research around that topic before we write anything, kind of come up with the keywords we want to target. And we're really mindful of that. And that's been a real big help for us. And another kind of SEO angle is we've been looking back through a lot of our old content. There's a really great case study from Brian Dean and his site Backlinko around this, but relaunching kind of old content. So if we've got a post that's maybe ranking on page 2 or like position 12 for Facebook advertising or a keyword like that, we'll go back through it and kind of see, okay, how can we re-optimize this? How can we make it better? You know, how can we ensure it's better than the posts on page 1 and 2? And we've kind of done that with a few posts and seen spikes in traffic there. So that's been a really good takeaway for us. And the third one is kind of timely content and knowing kind of when to post something that's kind of news related or trending topic related. And kind of we experimented earlier in the year with trying to write like 2 or 3 news posts per week. And what we found was that like 80% of them kind of just fall flat and they don't take off. They don't do as much traffic as a normal post, but the odd one will, and the rewards can be like really huge for that. So like when Instagram stories launched, we actually ended up on the front page of Google for that for most of the first month stories were live. And that brought in a ton of traffic for us. But you know, without that experimenting with news and that new type of content, I don't think we'd have ever learned which stories to go for and which to miss. You know, like now we've kind of built up a really good intuition for knowing, you know, which big releases to cover and which ones to skip. So,
got it.
Yeah, I guess to summarize those 3 points, experimenting with new types of content like news, relaunching old content and kind of focusing on re-optimizing for SEO, and then thinking SEO first ahead of anything we write.
Got it. Actually, on the relaunching of old content, so you go through and you find ways to improve it, maybe keyword optimize and maybe add deeper insights into the article to try to, you know, one up whatever's on the front page. Beyond that, beyond just updating the existing post, like what else can you do? And when you say relaunching it, like, are you redistributing it out, like you know, blasting it out on your social channels and that kind of stuff, or email list?
Yeah, so we do kind of give it a bump back to our blog homepage. We don't put them as like the first post you see there, because we think our audience tends to like have a hunch and they know when we've done that, because when we put it in the top spot, it doesn't perform as well as like a brand new piece of content. So we put it back on the homepage to give it a bit of visibility. We'll reshare it to all of our social channels again as well, and kind of just try and make it feel a bit more relevant and fresh and new. And that often helps with like a tiny little boost in traffic from those channels. And then we hope that, you know, when the Google crawlers come back through, it'll spot the you know, increasing quality and the relevance of the keywords.
Got it.
And yeah, like it's also really handy because we discover certain things like when you look at in like Google Tag Manager, like what keywords people are finding posts from. Sometimes it's not the one, like it's you're not answering the questions they're actually looking for in that piece of content. So we're able to kind of then go back through and say, you know, okay, people are searching, you know, discovering this piece of content for the question, how do I optimize a Facebook ad? But we don't actually cover that in detail. So let's add that in, let's make it more relevant. And, you know, with measuring that, like we might then say, okay, this was successful because we increased our rankings on Google, but also, you know, the time on page has gone up since we've done that. So people are actually engaging with this a bit more and we're actually giving them what they want. So I think there's great value to be had in going back through old content and just kind of having a good look through why people are discovering it, what they want from it, how you can improve it. It can have big benefits.
Yeah, totally. That's really, really useful there. So how about coming up with topics and planning your topics calendar and the themes and categories and things that you'll explore over time? And then how do you plan out who's writing what and when things are going to be launching in the calendar? How do you go about that process?
Yeah, so coming up with ideas, we actually use a Trello board, which we have kind of open to the public, so you can kind of look at our ideas and what we're going to work on. And anyone and everyone in the team kind of just puts ideas in this column, the ideas column. Then the kind of more content focused members of the team, like Kevin and I and Alfred, will go through and then look at the ideas and say which ones we feel will do well.
Ask you about that real quick. So is everybody on the Buffer team, like even the the developers, designers, other people, are they also really engaged in this process of you know, dropping in ideas for the blog?
Yeah, so we kind of welcome ideas from anyone, and like quite frequently the customer support team will come in with like some really good suggestions. And we also have a column in this Trello board for updates needed, because we reshare a lot of our old content and our audience have like a real keen eye for when something's out of date. So support is a key part for coming up with these ideas. We actually we're working on a post at the moment about Instagram that was inspired by one of our customer researchers, Roy, who was talking to some of the Buffer customers about the Instagram integration. And he sent around this email just kind of explaining, like, here are five common problems that are coming up with, you know, businesses trying to use Instagram. And then that kind of really inspired us. And Alfred kind of jumped on that and has written a post about it. So I think, yeah, inspiration can come from anywhere. You know, some of it is through keyword research and the SEO type stuff, but then sometimes it's issues coming in that customers experience, or, you know, problems that we on the team have experienced, new things that we learn. They really kind of do come from everywhere. And I think that's really great to kind of open that up, because you get a more diverse kind of range of ideas. Like if it was just the marketing team putting everything together, we might not have some of the perspectives that, you know, other people in the team get. Because, you know, we spend our whole days on these channels and writing social media content. And I think it's helpful to escape our own bubble sometimes and, you know, get some new ideas from elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So how does the process look like to produce, let's say, one new article for the blog? Like going from an idea on the Trello board to published.
Yep, cool. So we'll take an idea and then do a little bit of kind of research on it, write a real quick summary, like a paragraph about what it's going to cover, then what keywords we're going to target. Then someone on the team would take it on, so we'd assign it to them. So for example, I took one on, then I would do a draft and we kind of do a check-in. It's something that we've done with launches for a while, like big product launches. We do a check-in with 30% of the way through the launch, and then at 90% we do another check-in. And we've kind of started doing that with blog posts, where you get like 30% into a draft and you maybe have a really rough outline, then someone else will kind of give it some fresh eyes and say, okay, you know, this feels really good. Maybe we could add a bit more detail here or something like that.
And who does that? Like, is the team kind of sending it to you for you? Is like that something that you're responsible for, or you just send it to anyone who's around? Or
yeah, so it tends, like, if it's something that isn't written by me, then I tend to look at it there alongside Kevin. And if I've written it, then I will pass it to Kevin to have a look. So we try and pass it just to someone who can give it some fresh eyes. Because I think when you're writing, that's like one of the most important parts, is like showing it to someone else before you hit publish, because you kind of, you start reading things the way you want it to read, and it doesn't always, you know, read that way to someone fresh. So I think that's a really key thing for us, that, you know, not just for picking up any kind of like grammar issues and like the kind of nitty gritty of the editing, but, you know, for structure and format and making sure that all the details in there, those check-ins are really, really great.
Got it.
So yeah, once we've kind of done that, like, we'll, you know, do the second check at 90%, which is more of just a, you know, can we make the headings a bit better? You know, how can we make sure it's formatted great so people can like skim through and still get some detail? And then before it comes to publishing, we will brainstorm on headlines. So headlines are like super important, and we kind of spend a fair bit of time on it. And we try and get into the practice of coming up with about 20 headlines for every blog post. And we don't always do this. Like, it's something that ideally I think we'd do for every post, but we don't always, for, you know, whatever reason, where you just kind of sit and brainstorm 20 headlines for everything you write. And you get like the first 10 come really easily. They're just kind of like rearranging the original title. And then when it comes to like 15 to 20, they're really hard, and you start kind of thinking of like the crazy headlines and outside the box.
And, right. And that's where the good stuff
comes. Yeah, that's sometimes where like the winning headlines come from, you know, when you're really forcing yourself to think a bit different.
And what do you do? So when you have like 15 or 20 headlines, how do you decide?
So most of, like, sometimes it just goes on like intuition, like what do we think sounds the best? Like, we've published quite a lot of stuff. So yeah, we get like, have a bit of intuition. Like, we'll talk amongst it with the team and just kind of say like, you know, which one jumps out to you, which one feels best. But then after publishing, we also kind of A/B test them through social. So once something's been published, Brian, our social media manager, will queue up the posts using the headline that's on it, and then like a couple of other headlines that we came up with in the brainstorm. And then if there's like one real clear winner, like one post gets, say, like another 20 retweets with a different headline, then we can kind of go back into WordPress and update the headline on the post. And another thing we also do before publishing, we use a plugin called Yoast within WordPress, and that allows us to set an SEO headline and then headlines for social sharing. And we try and do this for every blog post and kind of ensure that there's almost like four headlines for each post. So we have the one that goes out on the blog that you see on the homepage. There's the one that appears in Google if you search for it. Because like sometimes what someone's looking for in Google and kind of, you know, what they're looking for on social are very different. So we put a special SEO headline in, and then also Facebook and Twitter headlines as well for each post.
So I guess like the Google headline would be a bit more keyword focused, whereas a Twitter headline would be, I don't know, maybe more interest based or something.
Yeah. So with Google, we're kind of aiming to like, yeah, get the keywords in early in the post, you know, make it very clear that it addresses those keywords and what's in the post within the headline and the meta description. And then, yeah, Facebook and Twitter can kind of, like, Facebook sometimes a bit more descriptive and like a little bit longer. And then Twitter, yeah, just kind of a bit more based on like interest or like, you know, latest from Facebook, or, you know, a bit of immediacy to try and make you click on it, you know, amongst the thousands of other links in your timeline at any time.
Right. Very cool. So I guess I'm just curious again, right now we're heading into 2017 in just a couple of weeks. What is on your, the top of your mind right now in terms of things that are kind of new that are starting to work or things that you want to try out soon? I know that you said earlier that you're going to start focusing on optimizing conversion on the blog, but I mean, are there any other areas in terms of strategies or tactics that you're looking forward to in 2017?
So one thing that we're currently discussing, it's a really good time for this because we have a call tomorrow just to think on our 2017 or Q1 strategy next year. And one thing we're trying to kind of do is make all of our content across the blog, social, our new podcast kind of all feel a bit more aligned. Because at the moment, we can kind of cover, the podcast might be on Facebook marketing, then we'll have a post on the blog about Instagram and another one about analytics. We might have a social video about Snapchat, and it's kind of all really great stuff, but it can kind of be a bit sporadic. We might go through the Trello board and pick out three posts because they feel ready to be written, rather than kind of having it planned out that they'll all be aligned and on the same topic. So We're thinking a lot about topics and how we can kind of treat almost every blog post or every week of the year as a micro content campaign. So to give you an example, in probably about a month ago, we released our first state of social media survey. And to do this, we surveyed 1,200 marketers on how they use social media. Then we wrote up a blog post purely on the results. Then we had a second blog post about, the best tools to use for social media marketing looking ahead to next year. Another one about the future of social media platforms. Across Facebook, we had Facebook videos around the results of the study and the future of social. And the podcast was also based on that topic, and it felt really great. The posts performed really well. And I think our audience really liked having content they could kind of almost digest across all platforms. You learn, I would say you learn the same things off every platform, but you're getting insights on a topic no matter where you are, where you're engaging with it. So we're trying to think how we can treat every blog or every week as a campaign. If it was a product launch, how would we approach it? And that's kind of the approach for every blog post, I think, for next year. Instead of just writing it and putting it out there, we want each one to feel like a special launch, and think, what can we do differently for this post to promote it? How can we really make this one stand out? And I think when there's so much content out there, there's ridiculous amounts of content published every day online now. When you're in such a competitive space, if you can just spend those extra hours planning how you're going to launch, how you're going to get people to read it, why they should care about it, those things are kind of the tiny details that I think make all the difference between success and failure with a post. So I think, quite a long-winded answer there, but
that is great.
Just kind of treating everything as a a micro campaign, and almost as if it was a product launch.
Yeah, I really like that analogy. And something that I'm seeing a lot of, and this is not a very new strategy, but it seems to be more attractive to especially software companies in such a competitive space, and there's so much content out there, like you said. Developing kind of these resource hubs, as we're calling them. We're starting to embrace this strategy more at Audience Ops, or it's not just about one blog post or blogging on a consistent schedule just for the sake of blogging, but to actually make sure that you're forming these hubs of content that are all connected and lining them up in a series, or one piece of content having legs into different sub areas.
Yeah, that's I think that's a really great one. With it's great you mentioned it, actually, because I'd kind of forgotten, but we experimented with that Buffer as well, and that's kind of been really good for us, that technique. So we have, by now I think there's 900 to 1,000 posts on our blog, which is like a ton of content. It's been going for like 6 years or so since Buffer started. But, you know, a lot of it kind of gets lost. And yeah, we started when we launched Instagram, Buffer for Instagram. We kind of launched this ultimate guide to Instagram marketing. And that was like maybe 60, 70% fresh stuff, and then kind of 30% linking to older posts, or, you know, we'd introduce a subject, we'd talk about it, and then kind of go off into, if you want to learn more about taking the perfect photo, go here. If you want to learn more about advertising, here's a great post on that. And that kind of really worked well, because you're not just creating like one useful blog post, you've kind of got a hub for everything that you need to learn about that subject. I think it's Jimmy Daly from Vero, the email software company. He has a really great post explaining that technique. I think he calls it the hubs and spokes.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that. It was really great. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that's another thing that we've done a few times, and I'm sure we'll carry on with through 2017.
Yeah, very cool. Well, Ash, this was really insightful and very helpful. Thanks so much for your time, and, you know, keep up the fantastic work at Buffer. It's always interesting to see what you guys are doing. You're constantly, you know, updating and refreshing your strategy, and, you know, you just continue to kind of be a leader, you and the team at Buffer, when it comes to marketing a software online, especially with content and social media. So it's been really inspiring to watch, and thanks so much for your time. And by the way, so obviously people can check out Buffer, buffer.com, and the blogs, but where can people kind of connect with you?
Yes, so I'm on Twitter and Instagram. Handle is at @ashreed_, that's ashreed _. So yeah, those are probably the places I am most active. So yeah, feel free to hit me up there.
Very nice. All right. Thanks a lot, Ash. Take care.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. And thanks for having us.
So that wraps us up. I hope you enjoyed that one. This episode of the Audience Ops podcast was brought to you, as always, by Audience Ops. We're a done-for-you content marketing service where our team of talented writers and researchers produce high-quality content custom-tailored for your audience and your customer base. And we handle all of the legwork for you from start to finish. Learn about our simple, all-inclusive packages, check out our case studies from our clients, and schedule your free consultation by going to audienceops.com. Until next time.